哎呀呀嘿呀嘿呀呀嘿呀嘿呀呀嘿呀嘿，哎呀呀嘿呀嘿呀呀嘿呀嘿呀呀嘿呀嘿。Elder Voices, a window to the past, a door to the future.
Ay, 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 hey, ay, ay.
My name is Willa Ashenfelter. I was born in White Mountain, July 4th, 1940. My maiden name is Lincoln, and I have two older brothers and an older sister still living in White Mountain. White Mountain has always been my home. Most of my children are there. Many of my grandchildren are there. So I think I have a good family system to fall back on. I remember when I was maybe five, in the spring after the snow first melt and then it would freeze during the night, and when we woke up in the morning it would have this hard crust. It was hard enough for my brother and I to run around under the trees, and he was a typical big brother. He would wait for me to get dressed and then we'd go out running around on the hard snow. We'd make our way up to White Mountain Hill, and sometimes we'd listen to birds in the morning. One time on our way back home, we found a nest of sprig eggs. And during that time of the year, fresh eggs were really a treat. We didn't have any in store. In the spring also, he'd make whistles for me out of willows, because the outside layer of the willows was easy to separate and he could make those little. And it was something like, when you blew on it, it was something like a train whistle. He would also make slingshots, go looking around for the special part of the willow that had that Y and a handle. He's my brother that's 3 years older than I am. My older brother, I've lost two of them, but my oldest brother, I remember when I was a very little girl, he had his own bed. It was on a top bunk, and I thought that was such a cool place to be. And I used to beg him, please let me sleep by you. Before I fell asleep, he'd let me lay by him, and when I fell asleep, he'd move me back to by my mom, and I'd be really angry when I wake up in the morning and I'm not by my brother. The memories I have of my childhood were very happy ones. They were all special memories. My mother died maybe almost 8 years ago at the age of 93, so she's lived a full life. She was very hardworking. She raised our kids, and when I was growing up, I don't remember ever being hungry, that we always had food to eat. In the spring, I remember going with her to pick greens for lunch to mix with seal oil. That was always a treat, and she'd take me along. Sometimes I didn't pick very much, but I think she brought me along sometimes just for company. My earliest memories that I have are of her packing me on her back and putting me to sleep that way for my afternoon nap. She'd walk me around in the house and sing nursery rhyme songs to me, so I learned those. And with my grandkids, I did the same thing. And also with my own kids, I'd pack them on my back and sing them nursery rhymes. She was also very patient. She was always thankful. Whatever she was given, or when the day is nice, it was something to be thankful for. In November before Christmas, I remember her sitting on the floor, skin sewing on muckluks for everybody in the family so we could have new muckluks to wear for Christmas. There was only three daughters in her household. She said she was kind of a tomboy. She'd take her dad, her papa, out hunting with the dog team. He'd tell her to go pick him up in 2 or 3 days, so she'd hitch their dogs and go and pick him up again in 3 days. And a lot of what I am today, I think I learned from my mom. And I've said to my mom sometimes when she was still living that I was really thankful she was my mom. She's always had a positive outlook. Part of her thankful nature made her the way she was. Waking up really early Christmas morning for our church's Yuleta. I think it was 6 o'clock in the morning. And going to church, I remember one morning when the older ladies, I think there were 8 of them, were standing up in church in front without a songbook, and they sang, "While shepherds watch their flocks by night," in Inuvak, all translated, and they learned the song by memory. I don't know why that stuck in my head, but I remember. We didn't have very much during Christmas, but maybe when I was 6 or 7, I remember Red Cross sending everybody a gift. It was a regular little box with so much packed in it. Seemed like to me anyway, there were pencils and erasers and a little hanky. And I thought everything was really nice because gifts then were, we didn't always get gifts. And I remember the Red Cross boxes. The men in the village during Christmas would go out and get rabbits and cook a big pot of rabbit stew for the village Christmas dinner. So we ate, everybody ate, and I remember I really enjoyed that. Everybody was there, we were all there with our family. And White Mountain then didn't have electricity. Our lights were either candles or kerosene lamps or the Coleman lamps, lanterns that used blazo. And those were our lights. We didn't have Christmas trees in any of the houses. So our big Christmas tree was in the church, and this was a huge one. By huge, I mean it sometimes reached up to the ceiling. So that was a good-sized church, and everybody brought their gifts there and exchanged gifts there on Christmas Eve. And then you brought them home and opened them at home. And later in the evening, the young people would be out Christmas caroling. And my first memory of Santa Claus, I remember I didn't like him very much. I was really crying. I was trying to hide under the bench. And I find out that was pretty much, I think, some of what my own grandkids went through. He wasn't a favorite person when they were really small. Later on, you got to know who he was, and I think the image of Santa was later on was a good one. those are my Christmas memories. It was mostly English when I was growing up. I guess for my older brothers and sisters, they learned Inupiaq. But by the time they went to school, the teachers wouldn't allow them to speak, so they had really a hard time. Later on in life, they'd tell me what they were told to do. They often sat in the corner of the classroom. They were often slapped on their hands. So it wasn't a very good experience for them. We're trying now to remedy that and get our language back, but I think it's going to be a very slow process. Sometimes when I'm by myself, I could hear words in my mind, but they don't always come out the way I'd like them to. Now when I'm older and I listen to translated songs in church, their meaning for me in Inupiaq has more meaning than what's written in English. It's, I don't know what the change is, but I really enjoy listening to translated songs. It could be part of what I was growing up with, and my memories and my feelings of our Inupiaq dialect. And I'm really sorry, it's something I'm not fluent in. If anyone spoke to me, I could understand. But I'm not fluent in our dialect. Our dialect is a Fish River dialect. I could count on my hands people that are fluent in our dialect, and the most I could count is 7 or 8. I could understand some of King Island dialect. I could understand some of Unalakleet dialect, but how they pronounce some of their words, there's a difference. They say for chura, for us that's the willows that we pick early in the spring, for us that's chura. And for Unalakleet, it's sura. So that's their difference in their dialect from ours. Some of the games that we played when we were growing up, they had Eskimo names or names I grew up with, like Mana Mana. And that game, I don't remember the rules anymore, but it was a game that we played, both boys and girls in the village. And when we played those games, everybody knew the rules or where the boundaries were and what it was expected of us during Mana Mana, but I don't remember that anymore. I think part of it is just growing older and not seeing it every year. One year between Christmas and New Year's, games like that are during Eskimo Olympics, those were our games. The young people and the older people took part in those, but that wasn't very often that we had those. Inside games were makan, that type where you tried to make the other person smile, and once they smiled even a little bit, they were out of the game. A school in White Mountain, I remember, I think I started when I was 5. And I went with the kids my age. There were teachers I remember from way back. Once my very first teacher was named Miss Purdy. She was, I don't know where she came, but she came from the lower 48. But she was my first teacher. The next teacher I remembered was Mrs. Page. I think I had her maybe in first or second grade. I don't remember us having any homework, but we did math. We did arithmetic. We called it arithmetic then. We had reading, language, maybe the basics. When we had a new teacher that came and was good at singing, then we learned songs, and she'd teach us songs and we'd sing. We had several teachers that were good with artwork. We had several students in the village that were good with drawing, either with pencil or with paints, watercolors or oil paints. We also had a boys' dorm and a girls' dorm, so we had dormitory students there. And a lot of the men in our village were employed at the school. They were either maintenance men or custodians. One of my aunts was a laundress. She did the laundry for the entire school. The school offered employment to people in the village. I think it was 30 boys and 30 girls, something like that, from all the way from Point Barrow to Anvik and Sunshine Bay or Hooper Bay down that way, that came to school in White Mountain. Two of our school buildings burned. One was maybe in the late 1930s, that one burned to the ground. And then our high school, maybe within the last 15 years, that one burned also to the ground. So we've lost two school buildings to fire. I remember I don't know why I did, but I really enjoyed on Friday, usually we had an exam, and I don't know, for some reason, it was something I really enjoyed. It was an exam on all the classes that we had during the past week. It was something, I don't know, for some reason, I really enjoyed that part of school. Teachers didn't stay like they do nowadays. We have teachers in White Mountain that are staying in White Mountain as their home. And I think for us it's a big plus because they know their students, they know their home life. Several years ago, they had a program that was called SFA to increase learning for the students. And they had the parents involved, each of the parents involved. And I've never seen our students improve their reading like they did at the beginning of that program. I was even involved because I'm a grandmother and I sometimes had my grandkids read to me, or I'd sit down and read to them. That, it worked. It really brought up their reading ability. One of the things I really enjoy, and I think it's part of what I learned in school, is the enjoyment of reading. I really enjoy reading. We've had some teachers, I've had little pieces that have really stuck with me through the years. I think back and remember them. There were teachers that really cared about us. So you could tell when teachers are really involved in what they're teaching. All of my elementary school years were in White Mountain. And then I heard about a school closer to White Mountain, the one in Unalakleet, so I transferred to Covenant High School. Part of our learning in Unalakleet was, as a dorm student, we had to prepare our own meals. We prepared our own breakfast, and we also prepared our own supper. Our dorm student body wasn't very big, so we were able to do that. On Saturday, one of the girls would bake bread, and it was enough to last for a couple days. We picked blueberries in the fall. Towards spring, we'd go out and go tomcod fishing for our supper when we wanted something different. And I really like that part of Covenant High. We used a wood cook stove, and I learned how to, when I put in my wood, to put a smaller part of the wood toward the bottom where I'm going to build a fire, because that's where the wood would catch fire sooner. And I learned little things like that at Covenant High. We learned from each other. And I'd go home for the summer, and summertime we were always putting away fish for the winter. I think when I was 12 years old, my mom and dad went upriver and looked for a campsite, and they chose where our camp now is. It ended up to be my mom's native allotment, and my brother and I, we each have a cabin there. We also have tent frames, so it's kind of stayed in our family so far. We've had our kids and our grandkids come and spend the summer, and we all take part in cutting fish and seining. There were many summers when it was only my mom and her kids that were doing the seining. My dad died when I was 12 or 13. He had TB and his health wasn't always good, but he did spend, I think, 2 or 3 summers in camp. And his TB came back, and he ended up going to a sanatorium in Juneau or a hospital there, and he died, I think it was 1952. So Mama raised us kids. And we stayed in camp all summer. We didn't always have gas. We'd either drift down to White Mountain with a boatload of dried fish and put those away for the winter in a cache. And to me, it was just part of putting away fish for the summer. We didn't complain. It was always, somebody always had something to do. And before we were old enough for that, I remember my brother that's next to me didn't have fish to hang or anything. Then we ended up making long car road on the bank. And he made his own little cars out of wood and the wheels and stuff. So most of our toys were homemade. And he also made sailboats, and we'd put a big sail with old canvas on it, loaded with salmon eggs, and we would sail across the river to the seagulls. Then we'd row across and pick it up again and load it up again and have it sail across to the other side. It was a lot of work, but it was also a lot of fun when we were growing up there. We did our own entertainments. In the evenings, I remember when people came, people did a lot of visiting when I was growing up. They'd go to homes and tell stories in the evening. And the stories that they told were in Inupiaq. And I don't know why, but if they told ghost stories, they were scarier because of the words that they used. And I don't know, they seemed more vivid. But I remember those evenings. If people didn't come to our house, and we'd go in the evenings to one of my aunts or my uncles. We had other family members there in the village we could visit. Sometimes Mama would tell stories. If she spoke to us, it was mostly in English. But when she spoke to my dad, most of the time it was Inupiaq. So we heard it, and I learned to understand. And in my mind, I could hear them, but what I said wasn't always what I'd like it to be. And I think that was one of the big losses. I mean, one of the things we lost that is very hard to come back to. I often wished it was something I could grow up, or that I was fluent in Inupiaq. When we went to visit another home, like if I went to my girlfriend's home, we'd knock on the door and went in when they told us in Inupiaq to come in. And we stayed, we stood at the door. We didn't move until someone told us to sit down, and that was also in Inupiaq. And we sat on the nearest chair to the door, and we sat very still. We never walked around. And I was telling my own kids this one time, and they were looking at me like I was kind of weird. But I was telling them how I grew up, and it was like that for all the kids in the village. We respected the homes that we went into. And looking back, I often wondered if we were so afraid of moving around, why did we even went visiting? But I remember that part of going into other people's homes. We stayed very still and we never spoke. They'd ask what was our purpose in visiting. We'd tell them also in Inuvial, it was something we learned. We were just there to visit, we gave them one word so they knew that we were just there to visit. Everybody in the village had an Inuvial name. I have two of them. One was Angnagaq, and this name came from my dad's mom's half-brother. His sister was a lady named, her Eskimo name was Angnagaq. So when I was born, I was given her name. And the other name that I have was given to me by my aunts in Ilim, and they gave me their mom's Eskimo name. And I think my Eskimo name from Ilim is Ayakin. My grandmother on my mama's side, her sister was from Ilim, so I have very many relatives in Ilim. There was a young man in the village, and he had, I thought, a lot of girlfriends, and I thought nowhere in the world was I any closer. But oh, he used to tell his younger sister to tell me to say hi, or that he said hi to me. So I kind of knew he was interested in me. We started going together and we got married. I think it was 1959, and I was very young. I don't think I'd like any of my daughters to marry. I thought that was very young. But we ended up with 3 daughters and 3 sons. I lost 2 of my babies, a boy and a girl, and their graves are upon the landing field. So I was pretty much a stay-at-home mom. I think when I was 20, the relocation program came and my husband wanted to go on to school. He was interested in cooking and they found a school in Chicago that he could go to. So we went down with our oldest son. I think it was 1960 or early 1961. And he went to Washburn Trade School there. And he graduated. He used to tell me about his instructor that he was such a mean or a strict man, but later on I met him and he turned out to be a really nice old elderly man. And he was trying to talk us to wait another year. He said he could drive us all the way back to Alaska. But we were already homesick and we counted all of our savings as salary and his bonuses, and we found out we had enough money to come back home. We were there almost 5 years. 2 of our kids were born there. I miss the country, seeing the mountains, and I remember really well when we came back to Anchorage and seeing all the mountains around Anchorage, and I thought they were so beautiful. We stayed in Anchorage for a while, and then in the spring, we came back home. I hope my grandkids remember me as that I love them very much. I would like them to be able to go fishing, and that they could put fish away if they wanted to, that they know how to go seining, they know how to cut fish. I think it's important to learn, if not Inuvial, to learn another language, but if given a choice, if there was a way that they could learn Inuvial, that they would take advantage of it. Because in our dialect, there's so much you can say in one phrase, with so much meaning in what you're saying. And if they're given the opportunity, I wish they would learn. I love my grandkids very much. My oldest one is in her mid-20s, and my youngest one turns 2 the first day of winter on the 21st of December. My little granddaughter has her own mind, and she'll tell me no, and sometimes I'm not too happy about that. But I just love my grandkids. They help keep me younger than I am. Most of my big events took part in White Mountain. I was born there. I went to school there. My husband was from White Mountain. His family is from White Mountain. I've been an active member of the IRA. I've served for a number of years on our city council, also on our Native Corporation, and also on our Education Advisory Board. I try to be involved in what goes on with school because my grandkids are there now. So White Mountain, I still take a big part in what goes on in White Mountain. Sometimes I wish I could do more, but I think I'm happy where I've been. Life for me wasn't always easy, but I talk to myself a lot in my mind. I try to have a positive outlook. I don't want my kids or my grandkids to remember me as being a cranky old lady. And I'm always thankful too for what I do have. My kids are all well, so I'm thankful for that. My sons really help me when I need help. My husband died maybe 15 years ago, and that first year was very hard. But I've had so many people come in and tell me, if you're having a hard time, you could come and see me. So they've been, I know there are people there that are more than willing to help me when I'm having a really hard time. And they don't have to do very much. It means just sitting in their house and have some tea. I might cry a little bit, but for them that's okay and it's a normal thing. So I've had a lot of people along the way to help me.
You've been listening to Elder Voices, a production of KNOM.